Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstcleclinic.com.
All right, I'm going to tell you how the players are screwing up with this CBA thing here. It is hour number three of the G-Bag Nation. Jeff Cavanaugh, Brian Broaddus, and Lucius Alexander with you. Coming up at 4:20, the history of picking 17th in the NFL draft. We'll look at the last 10 years to see what sort of player can you expect when the Cowboys go on the clock with their first pick. And I know, Brian, there's things about the proposed new CBA for the NFL that you're a big fan of, but I would like to start with a rant where I never get angry or raise my voice, but a rant nonetheless. I think the players are really hurting themselves right now. Because the information that we're getting about a new CBA that the owners want the players to agree to, which the owners have already approved, you get whatever information they want you to get. The owners will send out information to Adam Schefter and to whatever reporters where it's like, hey, put this out there. We're going to give them more money. We're going to, you know, add the game. And when we add the game, they get more money and all these different things. And they're going to put out all these things. And then guys who are members of NFL leadership, like J.J. Watt, Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman retweets Jamal Adams where he's talking about, oh, more games is more money. I'm in on that. And he's like, no, it's deeper than that. There's more to it than that. Call me. J.J. Watt, he sends out on Twitter today, hard no on that proposed CBA, but nothing else. I think this is where you have the opportunity to do what the owners are doing. The last time there was a labor dispute in the NFL, the owners owned the PR war. And they're going to turn the fan base against you to where when you don't agree to it, now you're a greedy athlete who's not thankful, who's just playing a kid's game and a millionaire, and you're greedy and you're the bad guy. Get out in front of it. Tell people why you don't like the new CBA. For instance, here's the responses. Of course, social media can be incredibly toxic. Here's some responses to J.J. Watt when he just said hard no on that proposed CBA. One guy said, play 10-plus games, then talk. You guys are really spoiled, LOL. Wish I could work 17 weeks out of a year for $30 million. As a, hard yes for me, go work at McDonald's then.
Wow. 10-plus games. That was a tough one right there.
That was tough.
God.
Burning your jersey. Like, you can't, you got to just tell people. Fight back. The NFL owners are great at the PR machine. They're great at spinning.
Yep.
The Cowboys are going to do this every time they have a free agent. They'll tell you, shoot, we offered him top three at his position. And they won't tell you how much was guaranteed, how much was per year. Is this truly competitive at the top of the market? They'll give you whichever nugget will get you to tell the public what they want you to tell the public. Players, you got to do the same thing or you're going to lose the PR battle and fans are going to think you're the bad guy when you're not.
Yeah.
You're partners in this thing. It's a partnership. Without you guys, it doesn't work. And that's every fan. When you start comparing your job, my job, anybody's job to an NFL player, you're already losing the point. Because we are not, you are not partner with your boss. You walking out, they will find someone else. If I walk out, they will find someone else. NFL players exist in a different world than we do. Stop comparing your job to theirs. But J.J. Watt, Richard Sherman, get in front of this thing. Don't let the owners spin cycle this. And you're the bad guy before you've even done anything.
You're absolutely right. And you're absolutely right about your assessment of getting information out because I used to do it every day at DallasCowboys.com. You know, There was things that, okay, what are we going to put out today? What are they going to give us today? What are we going to talk about today? Oh, they're going to let us talk about this. Okay. They're not going to let us talk about that. Oh, okay. So yes, you know, there's the way the tap opens and closes on that.
Yeah.
I think that to me, the problem that the Players Association has is their rank and file is 1700.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they need to, you know, with the direction there is that you do need a guy like a Richard Sherman or somebody out in the front of this saying, okay, hey, this is where we're at. This is what, you know, we see. This is how we see it developing. But again, the problem they're running into is there's 32 NFL owners and there's 1,700 players.
It's easier to get out the message of the 32.
Exactly. And be together on it.
Right.
You know, that's the problem that this, when they come to having to explain, there's going to be a guy, Mike Fisher was absolutely right. There are going to be guys like Richard Sherman that are going to read this thing from page one to page 51.
Yeah.
And then there's guys that are not even going to look at it. Just tell me how to vote. If Byron Jones tells me to vote yes, then I'm going to vote yes.
Yeah.
And if I have questions about it later, I'm not even, you know, I'll ask. But to, you know, to have guys read this thing through, they're it's a shame that players wouldn't take the time to go through it completely. But there is so much trust and faith in their representation that if you tell me to do the right thing, I'm going to go do the right thing.
So right now where they are is apparently, this is what's being reported, that the owners have basically made their suggestion. By the way, I'm seeing from one website that the owners are basically saying the offer we're giving you now in this CBA, if you don't sign it now, our offer is going to get worse as time goes on. And if you're a player, try me.
Yeah.
Okay, you have no product. Try me. But it's absurd how much they think they can just do whatever they want. But the NFLPA, the players, their executive committee, according to Tom Pelissero, voted 6-5 not to recommend the current CBA proposal. It's simply a recommendation. It goes to the 32-man board of representatives who have decided they're not going to vote today, and they're hoping that they can go to the NFL Combine and address issues that they have with the current proposal with the owners. So maybe they'll vote tomorrow, maybe they won't. And the rules aren't even clear in the CBA of how this works. I've seen people report both ways, that if they don't get a 2/3 majority of the player leaders, that it doesn't go. And I've also seen that it still goes to all 17. And if the majority votes it, that the new CBA goes. But whatever. There is one on the table, and it includes a 17-game season. It includes an extra team in the postseason each year. And I know there's some things in there that you are totally on board with.
Oh, I am totally on board about the roster expansion. As a former personnel man, give me more players. Give me more practice squad players. Give me more game day. Give me another game day inactive. Give me an expanded overall roster from 53 to 55. Give me that, from 46 to 48. Give me a couple more guys. Like I said, if the practice squad, I mentioned that's going to expand to 12. In 2022, it's going to go to 14. You know, the flexibility to have three guys come on and off IR if there's that type of injury. Yeah, just, you know, if you're going to play this extra game, and I think that Mike Lombardi made a good point earlier, though, is the 17th game going to be like what we see in week 16, where if you have things wrapped up, are you going to have to play that game? You know?
Yeah, but I think my initial thought is it'll be even more competitive because
for the teams that are fighting for the playoff spot with the extra playoff spots.
Right. The Rams, the Cowboys, the Bears, they're all still scrapping for a playoff spot.
But if you're not locked in, you know, that 17th game might not matter.
Yeah.
Just
to the people chasing the one seed and to the people chasing getting in.
Can I give a thing why I think this is a bad deal for the players? I think 10 years is too long on this deal.
Oh, agreed.
You know, because if you look at this, there's so many changes that are going to happen, you know, that time goes by and you're talking about voting for something now that a lot of players aren't even going to see, you know? It's good for this draft class coming in or whatever, but there's a lot of guys that aren't going to be able to enjoy all the benefits of what you got. I think 10 years, labor peace is great, But if you're talking about for the rank and file now, it's probably not the best deal because you're not going to have guys be able to enjoy the whole 10 years of it. Yeah. So if you had a shorter deal, then maybe you could come back to the table and said, because the deal they negotiated before was a terrible deal for them.
They were locked into it for 10 years.
It's like they took four steps back, and now they're having to try and get at least one, two steps forward.
Yeah.
And I think once again, yeah, the owners want a 10-year deal, but you're talking about they're negotiating for players. The players, the owners aren't going anywhere. These teams seem to go from family member to family member to family member. It's very rare that you have a situation that happens like in Carolina where you get a new ownership come right in. This is very rare. And so, yeah, owners don't change. Yeah. But the players do, and to lock the players up that long and not have the players benefit from it totally, I think is a mistake on the players' part.
And there's probably going to be a very large influx of – this is my hunch on why the owners would be super excited about getting something done that's long-term.
Yeah.
Because gambling will be legal.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so there's going to be an influx of money, and how is that money split? And if we can keep you guys down at 48.5%, we get more of it. I think there's just a lot that could happen in the near future that the players should want it to be flexible. But I'm glad that they didn't just approve it with, hey, this is our threat. If you don't sign it now, then you're going to get a worse offer in a minute. And it's like, okay, well, that's probably not the best way to negotiate. So we're not going to bite, and we're going to try you on that one.
There's a lot of pressure on Eric Winston, who's the representative of the players. You know, he's got to keep it, again, rank and file, 1,700 players basically that now have to, you know, you have to get the message through to all of them. The owners are in lockstep.
Yeah.
Now getting those players to be in lockstep is going to be tough.
And if you read the Autoflex Leasing fan text at 877-881-1053, almost all of them are anti-player. Where it's, this is from the 678. Oh, they only make $250,000 in 1 week. Cry me a river. And things like that on the text where it's, you can't, when you generate that sort of revenue, you can't put yourself in their shoes, and neither can I. And the next time that you're in a position to negotiate for yourself, let me know if you go in and say, I'll take less. Just let me know on the text.
There's another thing we did a story on Bill Bates. You know, talk about that. You know, if you want to really know what this game is all about, and go read the story about Bill Bates and what he's going through right now.
It's about car crashes.
About car crashes, and he wasn't making $5-7 million a year doing that.
No,
he wasn't. He was in 1984. You know, they created the special team spot for him in the Pro Bowl because of how good he was for his team.
Yeah.
So think about what these players put on the line every time they go out there.
Okay, so that's some CBA stuff. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. And Brian, one other thing that I wanted to kick around right here, unrelated to the CBA, is the NFL Combine starts this Sunday. So at the Combine, are there any names of guys, local or otherwise, that you're super interested in that you think, man, if that guy does this well or if that guy doesn't do this well, that it could really help or hurt them? We talked to Michael Lombardi earlier where medicals and interviews are the most important. So maybe even take it that direction. But I was reading some guys where I think Jonah Toles wrote one this morning where he used one of the guys that I also used on the Cowboys on the draft show where if you're a UT fan, I'm really interested in how Colin Johnson tests athletically. You know, huge guy playing wide receiver for Texas, can make some insane catches outside of his frame, can push little DBs around. But how fast is he? Will he be able to separate in the NFL? Those are some of those things that he gets to the combine, and if he goes and runs a 4.5 and he runs decent in the agilities, you hate to put too much stock into just the drills and the timed events, but I think that'll make you feel better about where you might take a guy like that. They didn't get talked about as a first two-day pick. So that's one of the guys that I'm really watching at the Combine to see how he does.
I'm fascinated by, because the tape is really good, but I really want to know how tall Antoine Winfield is.
Oh, the safety at Minnesota.
Yeah. I really
maybe a first rounder.
Yeah, I really want to know how tall he is.
Is he 5'10"?
That's what they're saying.
How tall was his dad? 5'8"?
Oh, no, his dad was 5'9" guy.
Yeah.
But his dad was a mean SOB. Played out there at corner, a lot different position. This kid's just as tough. But I you know, we talked about, too, what's the history of Tua? You know, yeah. Alabama's giving him a clean bill of health, saying everything is cool with him, but he has got multiple injuries that you're going to have to deal with.
You mean future Cowboy quarterback,
yes,
Tua?
Yes, we recklessly just went and made that pick.
He said that he wants to be a Cowboy.
We went all the way to the Jets at 11 and got that one done, right? Because we got ahead of all those teams.
Said he wants to be a Cowboy. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. But I think it was kind of fun. I was kind of looked over my shoulder a couple times there, but they were talking about it on the TV. Jerry Jones trade for Tua, you know. Okay,
hey,
yeah.
He was asked about a scheme fit, and he was like, well, my favorite team is the Cowboys. It'd be a dream come true. I'd back up Dak for a year.
Campaigning.
Campaigning.
He's trying to get to Dallas.
You got a campaign. You know, Jeff, you love all these receivers, though. And you were talking about, you know, Colin Johnson and stuff like that. Is there anybody else? I mean, do you see guys getting separated at the combine? Are we going to learn anything more about these receivers that we don't already know? I think you talked about Colin Johnson, but I'm talking about the top. Because if you could just throw a blanket on these guys, and everybody's list is going to be different.
Yeah.
You know, there might be, you know, who do you like, CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy? Who do you like best? Maybe that's, you know, but everything else I think is up for debate.
Yeah, I think there's guys that can help themselves. I couldn't imagine moving a guy much based on his workout unless it's obscene, like obscenely different than you thought. Could CeeDee Lamb hurt himself if he runs a 4.6? Oh, yeah. Could Jerry Jeudy help himself if he runs a 4.3? Probably. You know, watching the I want to know what Henry Ruggs, Alabama receiver, is going to run.
How about Michael Pittman from USC? What if he runs better than 4.55?
That'd be good.
That's what I'm saying.
That helps him a little bit. Yeah. But a little bit, right?
Right.
Because we are trusting the tape. We're trusting what we see on film.
Sure.
That, hey, nobody's catching him.
Yeah.
He's running away from guys. I can trust what I see on tape, but it'll be fun to watch and see who can help themselves. And, we have multiple, looks like, Hook'em Horns listeners here who are saying, yes, you'll learn Devin Duvernay is a top wide receiver in the draft.
Go.
And another guy, Devin Duvernay is a beast.
Yeah.
So we got some Hook'em Horns here. Coming up next in the G-Bag Nation, how about the history of picking at number 17 like the Cowboys are? How's that turn out for you? What sort of player are you going to get? It's next. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. This segment brought to you by Nutrisystem and our friends at Frankel & Frankel. Have you been injured in an accident with a work truck or an 18-wheeler? Call 214-333-3333 or frankelfirm.com, Principal Office, Dallas, Texas. I was fiddle-farting around on the internet yesterday, Brian, just for fun, because the Cowboys have the 17th pick in the NFL draft coming up in April. And so I wanted to do a little research project. So I went over the last 10 years, and I just wanted to see who got picked at number 17 overall. What sort of player was it, and can we learn anything about what to expect that the Cowboys are going to do? Are you interested in this list, Brian?
I am always interested in lists.
I'll take you back to the year 2010.
Okay.
At number 17, you know, it'd be really fun. No, that's a bar game. We'll do that at the bar sometimes. You just sit down, and you're like, all right, 2011. Go. And you just start going down the draft off the top of your head.
I can't remember what I had for lunch yesterday, so I better practice up.
2010, the 17th pick belonged to the San Francisco 49ers. They selected offensive guard Mike Iupati. And I would say that pick worked out pretty darn well. He's been a really solid player in the NFL for, well, a decade.
Sure.
Since he was drafted in 2010. Now, in that year, the Cowboys drafted Dez Bryant at 27 or 24. So I would say you outdrafted them. But the 17th pick, that netted you a nice player.
Yeah.
In the 2011 draft, the New England Patriots were picking 17th, which I wonder if they traded to get there. What a rarity that is for New England, picking in the middle of the first round. They selected offensive tackle Nate Solder, who we talked about yesterday. You would call that a good pick, right? Like, he's not good anymore.
No. He played well for New England, but he's exactly what I thought he was going to be. The lack of power, not a big guy, but really a good athlete.
Getting people's
way. Him and David Bakhtiari, both the kind of Colorado guys. Yeah, it was he played on Super Bowl winning teams as a left tackle, but they let him walk to the Giants in a big ticket for them.
So that was a nice player though. At 17, they got a really good player. That year, the Cowboys picked before them at number 9, and they picked Tyron Smith.
They got a better player.
Yeah, I think that one worked out pretty well for them. In 2012, the pick belonged to the Cincinnati Bengals at number 17 overall, and they selected Dre Kirkpatrick, cornerback from Alabama. I don't know if you'd call that a good pick.
He stuck around.
He started games for him.
Right.
But I don't know if you would look back at that and say that I liked what I did at 17.
There were a lot of folks that thought that he was going, you know, you talk about the best corner in the draft, competitive, ball hawk, all that stuff. Yeah, I think he had a good career, but not one that you would say, he's that top guy.
You'd probably look around back at that draft and be like, if we could have gone in a different direction. Much like the Cowboys probably look at that draft
because
they went up for Mo Claiborne in that draft.
Right.
In 2013, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You just kind of glossed over that, though, that Mo Claiborne thing, didn't you?
Yeah, you just run right past it. Yeah. Mo Claiborne went 6th overall. Yeah. You know,
learned your lesson.
If Mo Claiborne wasn't banged up, do you think he could have had a great career?
You know what's funny?
Because he had stretches where when he stayed healthy, you're like, oh, there he is. That's kind of the guy you thought you were getting.
He played really well at LSU and never really stayed completely healthy. You know,
he showed up to his press conference after getting picked with a cast on his
hand. Wrist,
and we didn't know about it.
Yeah, the wrist and all that. He had problems with that. The groin and, there were all kinds of things going on there.
The 2013 draft, the 17th overall pick belonged to the Steelers, and they busted. They picked Jarvis Jones, defensive end. The Cowboys picked Travis Frederick at 31 that year, by the way.
Yep.
But Jarvis Jones, and I think this happens a decent amount. This is kind of the game you have to play when you're picking pass rushers. A lot of them are going to go because the value when you hit is so good that you have to pick. There's only so many Chase Youngs, right?
Right.
And so, like this draft, you start looking and you're like, all right, it's 17 in that range. If somebody like Kalavon Chaisson out of LSU goes, if somebody like Yetur Gross-Matos out of Penn State goes, are you surprised?
No, because
people need pass rush.
Right.
They need it.
Epinesa, Iowa.
Yeah. So you fire your shot and you hope that your player works out. And Pittsburgh got burned by that in 2013.
But then they made it up. They picked Watt, TJ Watt.
Why would you bring that up right now?
I'm just saying you glossed over Mo Claiborne.
It's been such a nice day. I don't know why you would bring that up right now. We fast forward to the 2014 draft to see what happened at number 17 overall. And this one worked out. He's now super highly paid by the New York Jets. It was C.J. Mosley, the linebacker going to Baltimore. He could play.
Yeah.
And that was the pick after the Cowboys took Zach Martin. So I'm sure the Cowboys are pretty happy with their pick from that year. But the 17th overall pick there, that would be fine. If you get me somebody who's going to have C.J. Mosley's career, I'll be very, very happy.
Yeah, that was funny because that's the run that started three really good players because it went Shazier, Martin, and then Mosley. Think about that. And then Manziel being on the board. We all talk about that.
Shazier was 15, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Because they had Robert Blackwell had the card filled out for Ryan Shazier, and then Pittsburgh made the pick, and Robert had to go, whoops, rip that card up.
I think they were also kind of hoping that the guy who went number 9 might have slid down a little bit because that was Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald.
Yeah. I think they were high on him, right?
Oh, they were very high, yeah.
2015, what happened with the 17th overall pick? Arik Armstead, the San Francisco defensive lineman. And I don't know if you would have called that a good pick up until this year. This year, I think he had double-digit sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Every year before that, I think he was getting like 2 a year.
Yeah, 3-4, a lot of different, 3-4, 4-3. What are you going to play him, that kind of thing?
Once they got Nick Bosa there and they were able to have all of those weapons lined up, it was like, all right, now everybody gets to win.
He's a guy that's going to be a highly sought-after free agent. You watch how he gets, how much money this cat's going to get when it opens up.
Which means the Cowboys will not be interested, but tell me who's at the bottom of the barrel, and they'll be there.
They'll be there.
They'll be after that
Absolutely.
Guy. 2016. Cowboys took Zeke at number 4 overall.
And you just cringed when it happened, didn't you? Let me ask you.
I didn't cringe. I went,
how did we handle that on there? We knew that, right? We knew it was either going to be Ramsey or Zeke. We had an idea, right?
Yes. I had an informant that had a pretty good handle on it was going to be Zeke.
I remember you coming on air that day and saying, at 4, the Cowboys are going to take Ezekiel. Just get ready for it.
Yeah, and it's too high for a running back. Hmm. But, I mean, he was about the best running back prospect we've seen. Yeah. Okay, so Keanu Neal is who went 17th there to the Atlanta Falcons.
Safety, boy, beat you up, too.
Yeah, and at the time, I think a lot of people thought that was pretty high, but we liked him.
Tommy D went up for him, I believe. I think Tommy D made a trade for him to get to that spot.
And he's had a pretty nice career. Yeah. He's been banged up, I believe, but outside of that, he's been a good player for
exactly.
Atlanta.
Exactly, yeah.
2017, the 17th overall pick. How about Jonathan Allen?
See, this is what I'm hoping for.
Trying to get some Jonathan Allen action. Well, no,
this is the Kinlaw.
Yeah,
this is the Kinlaw from South Carolina. This is Jonathan Allen, Alabama. Everybody going, my gosh, he's a beast. Watch him, top five player. The whole mock drafting season, he was always a top five player.
Yeah,
and then he fell to 17, and he got to like 11 or 12, and we were all going, somebody get on the phone and tell me, what do we have a gas mask situation here, like Laramie Tunsil or something? Is there something we don't know about?
If he could have fallen 11 more spots, maybe you don't take Taco.
Yeah.
You take Jonathan Allen because that was the Taco
draft.
Exactly. You just gave me an idea for a great game we're going to play after I get through with these other two picks.
No, don't make me play a game. I'm terrible at
this. No. It's not a memory game.
Oh, okay.
You'll be great at this game. 2018, the 17th overall pick. Do you remember off the top of your head who it was? Cowboys took Vander Esch at 19.
The top overall pick?
No, 17th overall pick, where the Cowboys are picking.
If it was Vander Esch, it was close to us because that would be Derwin James.
That was Derwin James, who made it to 17.
Yeah.
And
We were screaming
starting at like 12.
I know.
Derwin's still there.
It's like,
is he going to make it?
It's like, Jeff, what are you hearing about Derwin James? Well, I really don't know. I'm not seeing anything, Brian. Again, you're starting to wonder why these guys are sliding. Yeah.
In 2019, the 17th overall pick was Dexter Lawrence to the New York Giants, the big nose tackle out of Clemson.
Big wide body guy.
He had a nice rookie year. So it's a hodgepodge here, but it's mostly you can expect to get a rock solid player at number 17. So what I want to do is go backwards and go back to each of these picks and tell me if you are picking that same position that the team picked. Do you have a guy you like at 17? I think the answer back when the Niners took Mike Iupati, the answer is no. There's not a guard that you would like at 17.
No.
No guard, right?
No. I have to get all my draft boards out. I wish you'd have told me this.
I didn't know, Brian. We just do radio. Have your draft board?
No, I know we...
No. I don't mean in 2010. I mean in this draft. Is there a guard that you would like at 17?
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. I'm thinking like, was there somebody in 2010?
Oh, man, if I was trying to get you to remember which guard you liked in 2010, that'd be a really unfair game.
Absolutely not. No guard.
No guard.
No guard, no center.
Nate Solder in 2011. Is there an offensive tackle on the board? I know the need would probably not be a good idea, but...
Andrew Thomas, Georgia.
If he gets to 17,
yes.
You go, okay, all
let's
right.
go.
Okay. Dre Kirkpatrick was a corner in 2012 that got picked. If they pick a corner at 17, you hope it is?
I'll tell you what, I think I had Kirkpatrick a lot higher than anybody, but at 17, could I get C.J. Henderson?
I think so. I think C.J. Henderson is Florida.
Fulton from LSU, Henderson, Florida. You like Gladney from TCU a lot.
Second round.
Okay, but not at 17.
No, and I think there's a fun debate to be had, and these are names that Cowboy fans are going to need to know because Christian Fulton at LSU and C.J. Henderson at Florida, they're both going to be first-round corners. And one of them could very well be a Cowboy. And putting them head-to-head I think is fun because they're different. Like
You're not going Diggs at all from Alabama there, right?
I'm not
in the mix.
I'm not.
Okay,
to me, so he's more of an upside guy, Trevon Diggs at Alabama, because he's kind of 6'2", over 200 pounds.
Right.
He's a converted receiver. I think people are going to see a ton of upside, but I don't think today he's as good a player as C.J. Henderson or Christian Fulton.
Okay.
And I think Henderson's probably the more twitched up of those two.
I like him behind Okuda. from Ohio State. Yeah. That's my guy.
And I think that's the debate, would be Fulton versus Henderson.
Right.
Fulton, I don't think, has elite traits.
No.
I think he's just a really good player. He covered SEC receivers really well for 4 years.
That's what scouts will tell you.
Okay, if it is a pass rusher, like Jarvis Jones in 2013 at number 17.
Oh, Chaseon?
Is it Kalyvon Chaseon?
LSU,
we're looking for Gumby. We're looking to turn the corner.
That would be my guy.
I think that would probably be mine, too. Is there a linebacker? Let's say, like C.J. Mosley was in 14. He went 17th overall. Is there a linebacker? Let's say, no, I don't want to say anything health-wise. Let's just pretend you needed a linebacker. I'm not going to say pretend.
You can't. You're not going to get Simmons from. You're not going to get Simmons from Clemson, right?
No. Top 10 pick there.
I'll tell you what, man. Keep an eye on Kenneth Murray from Oklahoma.
I'm telling you.
There's some buzz. There's going to be some buzz coming out about him. Get ready.
I think Kenneth Murray, Oklahoma, and Patrick Queen, LSU.
Yep, he's my 17th best guy.
Those are both kind of the modern-day linebacker because they can fly. Yep. They're, quote, undersized, they can cover.
Yeah, I asked scouts about Queen and Murray, and a lot of guys were going Murray over Queen.
That's what I got.
I know you did.
I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. If it's a safety, Keanu Neal went in 2016. Is there a safety you would like at number 17? There's not for me. I'm going to say Grant Delpit. He's my top safety. I don't want Delpit. I don't want Xavier McKinney, the Bama safety. I don't want either one at 17.
Scouts, again, buzzing. They're saying there's a big difference between Delpit and McKinney. They don't see it as close.
Which one do they like?
They like Delpit.
Okay.
But they think Delpit is around where we have him, 23, 24. But they think McKinney's more of a 35-type player.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. They don't think it's that close. People are flipping it back and forth on the mock drafts.
Yeah.
Scouts aren't going that route.
Back in 2015, when a defensive tackle went number 17 overall, I think we agree. You're hoping that it's Javon Kinlaw that could make his way to South Carolina.
Absolutely, yes.
He's a monster.
Yes.
Derek Brown at Auburn and Javon Kinlaw at South Carolina, those are the monsters at defensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're putting in order the guys that you like their traits.
Right.
Let me see here. We did safety. Jonathan Allen's a D-tackle. We did that. We did safety, and we did defensive tackle. So we did them all. There you go.
There's players there. We just showed you there's players there. Good names at 17.
Yeah, and again, if you want to hear about a ton of different players, check the Trust the Tape podcast. Broadus and I do about 35 to 45 minutes once a week, and we'll dive down into the second round, into the third round, and we'll get our way to the seventh round.
Yeah.
So if you're a draft nerd, just look up Trust the Tape on iTunes, on radio.com, on wherever. Wherever you like to listen to a podcast, there is something there for you. All right, coming up next in the G-Bag Nation, it is time to go around the NFL, including mock drafts, combines, head coaches, all sorts of greatness. Around the NFL is next. Thank you, Lucius, and welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Every day at this time, we go around the NFL, brought to you by Windstar World Casino and Resort. I'm looking at your big football brain, Brian Broaddus. What's first down?
First down is, you have an interest in Snacks Harrison
actually,
the Detroit Lions?
I know last year he fought through a ton of injuries, and apparently he thought about retirement, and part of my brain thinks once you think retirement, you're not all here anymore. But I think he's still good. He's not what he was, but if the price is right, I'll take Snacks Harrison clogging up the middle.
Snacks Harrison was with the Lions, as you said, Jeffrey. He signed a one-year extension with Detroit before this past season, and they had the potential to keep him through 2021. The move is going to save the Lions about $6.7 million in cap room. So, but in 15 games this season, he had 49 tackles, two sacks for a defense that really, really underperformed really all year. But
I think so.
He was a hard guy to block.
Yeah,
I mean, when you went back and you're like trying to watch like, you know, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin.
Against the Giants.
Connor Williams. Yeah, when he's playing with the Giants. I mean, those guys, they couldn't move him. You get a guy that plays square, plays down the line, that kind of thing. Maybe the old staff, not maybe, the old staff wouldn't have liked Snacks Harrison.
Right.
Maybe this new staff, though, you know, maybe that's something that we could kind of keep as, could he be like the one-year guy, that bridge guy to the next guy?
Yeah.
You know, the Cowboys have done a good job with those one-year kind of deals. You know, you talked about bottom fishing.
Yeah.
Maybe they could talk Snacks into playing again through maybe for one more year for the Cowboys, because he was a a pain in the rear to have to deal with.
For years, he might have been the best run stopper in the league. I think he was that good. And he's probably not quite what he was, but I think they have so much work to do rebuilding and retooling this entire defensive line that if part of that was to sign a guy to a not big money, but also not bottom of the barrel money, that you believe in his ability to be, even if it's just a guy that's able to hold the point and fight double teams and give your linebackers a chance to make plays and get into their gaps. I think I'm in on that.
Yeah, he's only 31 years old, though.
Yeah, he's still got something left. Yeah,
absolutely he does. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, second down. Let's talk about the quarterback game that's going to be going on this offseason with so many teams needing to find their guy. A lot of them are going to do it in the draft, but one of the names that's going to come up because Drew Brees is returning and he's going to play for the Saints again this year. They're probably going to use their first-round tender on Taysom Hill. What's going to happen to Teddy Bridgewater? Bucky Brooks wrote about that today, and he was talking about the price range, and he said, I think he might be a $25 million player, give or take. And here's what he says for best fits. Tell me what you think. The first one, he says New Orleans Saints, which I can't see at all. You brought back Brees, you're going to bring back Taysom Hill, and you're going to have money to pay Teddy Bridgewater open market prices to bring it. I can't see it at all.
Nope.
Next, Bucky Brooks says, how about the New England Patriots? He says, if Brady leaves, which Mike Lombardi, by the way, earlier today said he's leaning towards or starting to lean more towards that Tom Brady might not be with New England next year. Bucky says the veteran quarterback is a high IQ player with an understated personality that fits into the Patriots locker room. As a player, his game not only meshes well with the team's scheme, but Josh McDaniels can entrust the cerebral quarterback with some at-the-line responsibilities that would help New England continue with the check-with-me system that's befuddled opponents for years. Teddy Bridgewater is a Patriot.
I don't know about that one. Because I'm thinking of Teddy Bridgewater playing with gloves on. You know, I'm thinking of cold weather Teddy Bridgewater.
Like you wouldn't like it?
I wasn't jumping up and down about that.
Yeah.
I remember, like I say, evaluating him at Louisville, but yeah, you got to look at him now. But he's always had the two gloves. He was in Minnesota, got drafted by Minnesota. And you're like thinking, okay, how do you look in that cold weather environment, rain?
And he's still wearing the gloves, right?
Still wearing the gloves.
He's rocking gloves.
Yeah, it's because he's a little bit worried about controlling that ball. But got to give him a lot of credit for what he was able to come in and do, in a difficult situation for the Saints. Kept him
5-0.
5-0. Kept him totally didn't lose anything during the season.
Okay, how about Teddy Bridgewater to the Carolina Panthers? If Bridgewater wants to operate in an offense that has a Saints feel, he could take his talents to Carolina and play for Joe Brady, the guy who turned Brian's college team into a national champion.
God bless you, Joe Brady.
One of them that turned your team into that. Run a scaled-down version of the Saints offense. Brady could team with Bridgewater. Oh, Joe Brady. I got confused. Yeah. Joe Brady could team with Bridgewater to create an updated version with the Panthers as a pinpoint quick-rhythm passer. With an understanding of coverage, Bridgewater could thrive in an attacking scheme that's designed to put the ball in hands of playmakers on the perimeter, which, by the way, they got some of those. DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel and Christian McCaffrey. Teddy Bridgewater with the Panthers.
Carolina is my surprise team that's going to trade up in this draft.
To go get Joe Burrow.
They're going to go try and get Joe Burrow. Yeah. No, they have to figure out the quarterback situation there, though. And you know what? Teddy Bridgewater makes some sense.
Yeah.
It does, because you are talking about, you got to look at Joe Brady was with the Saints when Teddy Bridgewater was at the Saints.
Oh, yeah.
So there is some familiarity there for sure.
He also throws out the Pittsburgh Steelers, which I would immediately poo-poo because I don't think Teddy Bridgewater is going somewhere to be a backup again.
Nope.
I think he feels like going 5-0 has proven himself, and I'm not here to watch Ben Roethlisberger, even if it's just for 1 year. I'm here to be a starter for a football team. And the final team he throws out is the Chicago Bears. Trubisky didn't have a good year last year.
No.
He also can't throw left, which is real bizarre. There's one whole side of the field that he really can't throw to.
Kind of tough to play a quarterback. He can't throw left.
No, it gets a little squirrely on him over there. So they say maybe the Bears would be wise to follow in the Titans' lead and bring in a veteran with some experience to add competition to the QB room. That might be a year early.
Yeah.
You're not going to... You're going to let Trubisky try one more time, right?
Got to.
One more. You got one more year.
One more year.
And then you're in trouble. Okay, yeah. Well, that is all the possibilities for Teddy Bridgewater, according to Bucky Brooks. And we'll see what the draft brings. We'll see what free agency brings. And we'll see where Teddy ends up. Brian Broaddus, I look to you for a third down.
Third down. How about this, Jeffrey? When you were in college, did you have a lot of parking tickets when the briefly there at Abilene Christian?
No, I started getting my parking tickets after college. Like when I went to speak at a local university, they wrote me a parking ticket.
North Texas?
But that's okay. I got that handled. They had great people up there.
Did they?
They had great people out there. Yeah. But I think the power of the blue check mark on Twitter got me taken care of.
Oh, really?
I went up there and spoke to the great Mark Fiennes class.
Yeah.
And then I walked out to a ticket on my windshield, and I was like, I'm not paid to be here, and I don't want to pay a fine to be here. But at Abilene Christian, I believe if you had a sticker as a ACU student and you went to a bar and were in a bar parking lot, they'd write you a ticket.
All right. Well, it's in a bar parking lot?
Yeah, you can't go to the bars. That's why we would have never got Brookson done if it weren't for that rule.
Yeah.
That rule, they were at Abilene Christian and they got basically told, listen, you got two choices. Keep going to our school or play the bars. And they went, you know what?
Let's go play them bars.
We're going to try the bars.
Yeah, there we go.
Worked out for
them. How about this? An NFL coach in 2007 was facing a career decision. And
Garrett.
You want to guess?
It was Garrett.
It was Garrett? No. Cliff Kingsbury, the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. In 2007, he was facing a decision that a lot of football players face. He was struggling with, can he catch on the professional level? You know, what do I do with my life? And so Kingsbury was in the CFL at the time, Canadian Football League. And after a few little brief stints with the NFL and NFL Europe, and he kind of saw the writing on the wall, right? So he's planning to retire and go back to school to pursue his MBA. There was only one problem.
Mm.
Parking tickets.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot of parking tickets.
No.
Yeah. While trying to get his schooling plans in order, Kingsbury called Texas Tech to ask about his transcripts. And the fine folks out there in Lubbock said, hey, you owe us $1,500 in outstanding parking tickets.
How many tickets is that? Is this like a tollway thing where you had a few and now there's
Have you ever had to
fees?
Argue that too? Let's get back to that. Because that's scary. When they call you and tell you they're going to throw you in jail for $26,000 worth of tolls or something.
I thought I was going to make a top list. Like when they release, here's the biggest offenders in Texas. I thought I would make a list because they've sent me different ones where it was like $2,000 and $3,000.
Did you have to go take care of that? Did you? What kind of deal did you cut?
So the first four times that I did this, called. Yeah. The first four times I did,
Astros.
I called. And I said, hey, guys, got this in the mail. And they're like, right. So I was like, yeah, I got that. How much are the actual tolls? Because, it says I owe
you're trying to cut a deal,
right?
Aren't you?
It says I owe you $2,100.
Yeah.
How much are the actual tolls?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, $170.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, so that's a lot of fees. Because they hit you for $35
every
late fee
time.
For every 70-cent toll.
Every toll.
So the first three times, they were like, we'll remove all the fees, just pay the tolls. And I was like, cool, done.
Yeah.
The fourth time I called in and I said, hey, guys, good news. I know how this works. Remove all the fees and tell me what I owe. And they're like, we don't do that anymore.
Oh, really?
And so I had to go into debt to pay off the tolls.
You paid $2,100?
No, not that time. That time it was like $1,400.
$1,400?
Yeah.
You've done this twice?
Four times.
Four times.
Yeah, the first three
that's
it
right.
went
you told
smooth.
Me four times.
Yeah,
that's
the first
right.
three went smoothly. The fourth time it did not.
Oh, geez.
So I wonder if Cliff just had like six tickets and they add fees.
Well, here we go. Instead of paying those fees, those fines, and pursuing his MBA, he said he took a job on Dana Holgerson's staff while at Houston, while he was the head coach of Houston. And a couple of coaching moves later, he ended up back at Tech. So he went. He said, you know what? I ain't going to go get my MBA. I'm going to go be a coach. Went on Holgerson's staff at Houston and then had to go back. I wonder if they made him pay the $1,500 when he came back as a head coach. Think that's part of his contract?
I think they probably took it out of his check.
Probably took it out of his check?
He probably didn't notice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
But how about that? Parking ticket said, I'm not going to pay. I'm going to go coach. So, and then next thing you know, he's an NFL head coach.
All right, that's a nice third down there, Brian.
Thank you.
You ever had a problem with parking tickets?
At LSU, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, parking around Tiger Stadium was tough.
They put the boot on your car?
Ooh.
Not the boot.
Nah.
No, that was. I think I was pre-boot.
Okay.
I was like, I'm like in the 80s.
It's a great show on TV about the parking tickets, and they put boots on people's cars.
Oh.
And they watch people beg and plead to get the boot off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing TV.
I would. Have you ever been towed?
Yeah, I was out with you one night and almost got towed.
Robbery.
Yeah. You did not almost get towed with me.
I told
you where to park and it was fine.
No. We were over at one of those places and I ended up parking in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
By an apartment complex.
Yeah, that's good.
We left and you went your way, I went my way. Their guy had my truck up on the lift.
Oh.
And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. And he goes, What do you mean, sir? I'm like, all right, how much? How much?
Oh, just
he goes, give me $250 right now.
What? Are you kidding me?
I had to go to the ATM machine, got the money, came back, gave him the cash. He lowered my truck.
Wow.
But I was with you that night.
He made some side money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was $250.
I tried to steal my car back from the impound one time.
Over the fence?
Well.
I mean, you jumped over the fence?
I didn't jump the fence.
Cut through it?
Great
escape?
I got towed. It was my first time on Lower Greenville in the Dallas area.
Yeah.
And I didn't know the rules yet. I'd never been down there. So I did what everybody would do. I parked at Taco Cabana.
Oh, yeah.
Which, RIP, I believe.
That's a rookie mistake.
Yeah. Big time rookie mistake.
And I've since found out that that is the one way to guarantee you'll get towed in that area is to park at the Taco Cabana. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But they did. They took my car, and I was like, okay, where does it go to? And somebody's like, well, the lot's over there. And I was like, get me there. Somebody got me there, and I sat there for about 12 minutes. I waited, and I stared at the gate. I was just thinking, okay, what are we going to do here? Gate opens. They're pulling a car in. They got somebody else. As it's starting to close,
oh, you wildin'.
I jump out.
You bugging.
I run for it.
You got to relax.
I got my keys in my pocket. All I got to do is get to the car.
You got to relax.
I get through the gate. Ha, 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 ha. Freeze!
Yeah.
Freeze. Like, it's a dude that works at the impound. It's not a police officer.
Sure.
But he yells freeze, and so I froze.
He's strapped.
And he did have a firearm.
Yep. Yeah.
And he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I didn't know how to get in, and my car's here. I was just trying to get my car. And he was like, were you going to pay for it? And I was like, yeah. Yeah, how much? So I went back to the window, and I gave him a credit card. But I was trying to steal my car back, and it didn't work out. Doesn't always work out for you.
Were you buzzing?
Please, yeah, you were.
I think so.
Took you too long.
I have made mistakes in my life.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm really excited about Uber. I'm excited. It's such a great invention. Coming up next in the G-Bag Nation, that was around the NFL, of course.
Of
course it was. I don't
know
if you guys could tell there.
Yeah.
The top stories of the day, including Dez Bryant, Tua T to the Cowboys, and more. It's next in the Nation.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.